Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to welcome you to First Presbyterian Church, Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. Some habits are hard to break, I'll confess it. It's a delight to be with you here as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We thank the Lyerly children, Luke and Leah, for doing such an awesome job of our prelude music this morning. We've just got a really sweet musical program this morning. We've got the string quartet and a number of other pieces that we're looking forward to hearing to really get us in the Christmas spirit. And it's, of course, an appropriate Sunday for that, as today's Advent celebration focuses us upon the joy of believing in Jesus Christ. Before we get going, we've got a couple announcements. Today's the last day to bring in your money or gift cards for the Angel Tree. We changed the way we were doing it this year based on the fact that COVID was preventing us from doing some things. So we would just ask that if you have any of those donations, that you would mark it on the check as Angel Tree or put it in an envelope and in the plate and identify it. And so if you haven't, this is a great time to do it. Everyone and anyone would normally be invited to join me at boot camp tonight, Bible boot camp, but we are going to postpone that with a date to be announced later. The class is actually changing a little bit. The structure is going to alter, and so it's a good time to take a break, and largely because I'm feeling very under the weather right now, but thankfully it's just a cold. Everything will pass. The men of the church have their monthly breakfast next Sunday at 7:30 in the fellowship hall. All are invited to join. And the women of our church this Tuesday will gather at Petey Self's house at 6:30 p.m. And it's for both the circles, so please bring your favorite snack or dessert. Drinks will be provided. We're in desperate need, thank you to Finley tonight, but we need sound techs to work the board during worship on Sunday mornings. If you're interested in doing so, please let me know. If you missed your offering envelopes for 2022 and do not currently receive them, contact the church office or Audrey. Audrey can make that happen for you. Please plan on joining us in our Christmas Eve worship service at 5 p.m. We'll have communion, candle lighting, carols, and celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? That being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
On this third Sunday of Advent, the reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for delivering us safely into this season of reflection and anticipation. As we walk through this blessed season, continue to shower us with your wisdom, blossoming as a flower of joy. Fill our hearts with a great desire to make your holy and everlasting name known here in our hearts and around the globe so that everyone can rejoice. In Christ's name, amen.
Invite everyone now that is able to please rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
harboring expectations of it being perfect. And sadly, we're confronted by failure right within our own bodies. Friends, the Bible declares, and the truth is that we all fall short of the glory of God. And yet we celebrate and worship a God who is love, and in as a function of that love, sent Jesus Christ so that we would be forgiven. In that space, it becomes less harrowing, more necessary that we confess our sins so that we might receive God's known forgiveness and be cleansed of any and all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us now confess our sin before God corporately using this morning's prayer of confession. Join me. Holy Lord, in this time of Advent, we confess we are often distracted by the season's busyness, by the stress of commitment, and by putting our own traditions ahead of the true meaning of Christmas. We confess we often prefer being sentimental to being sacrificial. Forgive us for all the times we have missed seeing you in our midst, for all the times we have doubted your presence, and for all the times we have failed to hold the holidays as holy days. Pour peace into our lives, and let us be bearers of your peace to others. Remind us that this is a season of waiting and preparation for the greatest gift of all. In the holy name of our Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Friends, it is great, great good news that when we are down, when we've failed and fallen short, that God greets us by the power of the Holy Spirit, declaring to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we are indeed beloved. Our transgressions, the punishment for them, has been relieved and removed by the atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Glory be to the Father. Reflective hymn. Invite all the children to come forward and have a spot on the carpet, and Mr. Mike's going to lead our time for children this morning.
for you have favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Well, that's a lot to take at one time, right? As a 12, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, somewhere in that age. That's a lot of information. I know. Who? What? Me? What are you talking about? Would you not? I mean, that's a lot to take. Okay. Maybe we can't put ourselves exactly in Mary's sandals, but we all know we would have some doubt, would we not? This would be a lot to take. Things like, who? This isn't what I thought it would be. I doubt. I don't know if I have what it takes. Another doubt. I'm nervous. I'm going to mess this up. But Mary was reminded that she was favored by God, and she proceeded to move forward. For she was told that Mary was to go on and say, "My soul is glorified the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God the Savior." Okay, we move forward, and we got to try to understand now that she's been told this and she understands it. So what kind of joy does she have? Is that the kind of joy that says, you know, hey, I got a new bicycle? Is that a joy that she got? No, I don't think so. Or did she make a good grade? Is that the joy? No. Mary was blessed with the joy of God. It is, so God, joyful, does not always coat us with in a pleasurable way. We don't always understand what he's telling us or what he wants us to believe and follow. But it's our job to believe that God has a better path for us and a better plan for us, and that we must trust in him with all our hearts. Okay, will you pray with me? God, help me to embrace the type of joy that comes from knowing that you are in control. Things happening to us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys.
Come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word with the belief that God is going to speak to us very powerfully by the power of His Holy Spirit as the words of His scriptures are read and then proclaimed. As always, before we begin with the reading and proclaiming of the scripture, we seek out the Lord in prayer in order to beseech Him to allow the Holy Spirit to stir deeply and fast within us. Join me in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come in this season of Advent, this day that we're called and reminded to be joyful. Heavenly Father, allow your Spirit to stir in our heart in such a way that bubbles forth with excitement and energy and determination, the fruit of biblical joy running in us. Allow us to hear your word with great assurance as well as a great call to our endeavors. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I'm reading this morning from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. In your pew Bible, it starts on page 935. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. Lord, the King of Israel is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows for the appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Before we get started, I just wanted to share with you, hearing O Come Emmanuel is always such a special song for me because I can remember the first year I was at Duke Divinity School feeling very much overwhelmed by the amount of reading and tests that we were having. I was studying in the library at the seminary or the divinity school, which is right beside the chapel. And it was about that point where the bells, if you haven't heard the bells in the Duke Bell Tower play, they're just stunning. And it played O Come Emmanuel. And here in this moment where I was certain that there was nothing lying ahead for me but failing out of divinity school with much shame and ignominy, that song and the bells that provided it were, in fact, very inspiring. I hope they're inspiring to us all because the song is about the expected hope that we celebrate, that we wait for, really, during Advent. Advent is a season of waiting in which we're called to take a broader picture of our world and really what's important in it. It is, unfortunately, and it occurs at a time where the world around us is ramping up for the celebrations of Christmas, which are wonderful. Look, if you haven't been to a good Christmas party, I encourage you to go. They're a lot of fun, right? They don't have to be about what we believe here because sometimes they're two different things. Yes, there's a reason for the season, but there's also time with our family and friends in which just we let our guards down just a little bit and just rejoice and find ourselves in that space where we're gathered and knowing that things are okay, not only in our immediate sphere for the moment, but maybe just a bit beyond it. This is the Joy Sunday. This is what the Roman Catholics, I think, would call Gaudet Sunday. Gaudet being a Latin change from the word joy. It is the time in which we're called the Sunday to look more deeply and to understand that one of the most crucial and important differences I think that we can discern, especially in light of the holiday season that is assaulting us or confronting us or comforting us, depending on whether the ads are a good one or a bad one. In this season, it's easy to lose sight of the difference between happiness and joy. And what I want to tell you is that there's nothing wrong with happiness to a certain extent. This is not meant to be some diatribe against having a good time. Just as having a Christmas party that isn't particularly related to Jesus is okay, so too is it to have happiness in your life and to make it as a minor goal. And yet there is something lacking in happiness. Happiness we find to be very ephemeral and fleeting. It tends to disappear and disappear. There tends to be a measure needed of novelty. Take, for example, the fact that when I went to culinary school, not being particularly coordinated, one of the things that was a real bugbear for me to make was a simple cheese omelet. Takes a lot of coordination, a lot of fast reflexes. Look at this body. Do you think I have either? No, I just don't. An omelet was a challenge for me, but with practice and effort and endurance, I can finally bang one out. I can bang one out now so easily that when I need to fix dinner quickly, it's a cheese omelet all around, and I can do it really without thinking. It doesn't provide me that same burst of happiness that when I turned out the first perfect one. The French one's got to be straight, got to have the filling in it, it's nice. First time I turned one out, I was ecstatic. But over time, see, happiness becomes routine. And routine, well, it may be happy at times, but more often than not, it's dull and it's a little bit lifeless. That's the way it feels sometimes when I'm making an omelet, just to be making an omelet, which, believe it or not, happens on occasion when I'm hungry. Doesn't always have to be someone to make one for other than me, right? And so this week, it's just as the Lord would provide it, I got a really good taste, and I use that term deliberately here, of the difference between the two. And I've got a chart. And I thought it out, so I'm going to pull that open. This week I did two things that I'm not doing. Well, one thing that I'm not doing hardly at all, and another thing that just by happenstance doesn't occur that often. The first one was coming back from a lengthy trip out of town, or a tiring one. I drove by the McDonald's and got myself a Big Mac. Now, Big Macs, I know, are like 632 calories. They're jammed up with fat and carbs. They're the very thing that you try to stay away from when you're trying to lose weight. However, tired, needed a quick meal, doing okay, it's all right to get a Big Mac. And I'm going to tell you what, it didn't fail to deliver, all right? It's a Big Mac. It tasted pretty darn good. I was really happy. This week also we had the occasion where our two children who are engaged in the band program at MICS were performing their concert. It was a different feeling to see not only my two kids, but to see Finley and Gavin and some of the other children that I've gotten to know either through here or associations at the school, doing what they do best. We got a taste of it this morning when Luke and Leah Lyerly performed on the piano. What a joy it is. And I use that term deliberately. What a joy it is to hear young talent, young musicians, young people come alive in any way possible. Music is a good way and a good one to do it. But this morning we heard songs in a sacred vein here in the sanctuary, and there is tremendous joy. And so this week, tasting that Big Mac again, it's been 4 months since a Big Mac. It's a long time for me. Generally try to go like a day, right? It's a long time. And the band concert. So what was the cost? Well, I can tell you, I have the receipt. $8.37 for a Big Mac meal. Come on. You know I was going to get it supersized if I was going to get it, right? Coke and fries all the way. $8.37. I can't believe it, but that's a whole other sermon to begin with, right? Now, what was the cost of seeing my two children perform in band? Knowing that one of them is here listening, I think I'm just going to say it was a lot higher than $8.37. How much effort it took to get those two kids there that night alone, which was easy, was a far greater endeavor than the $8.37 that I had spent on that Big Mac. But what was the long-term, what were the short-term effects and then the long-term effects? Well, let me go through it. The short-term effects from the Big Mac, I was bloated, but, you know, and sleepy, right? That's all right from time to time. But once I woke up from that mini nap, I didn't think about that Big Mac hardly at all the remainder of the day. It just didn't matter. It was just another meal, a good one, one that met my taste buds' expectations, but wasn't particularly good for me and not terribly memorable. There are, after all, this morning, I found out 15,000 McDonald's across America, and any one of them I can step in and get a Big Mac for, hopefully less than $8.37. But I'm guessing in Manhattan it's probably more like $18.37, but that's just a guess on my part. What was the effect of seeing those kids perform? What was the effect of knowing that somehow all of that effort, all of the changed diapers, all of the 3 a.m. wake-up calls, all of the trips to the pediatricians and the therapist, and to the lessons and the practices and to the instrument buying. What was the cost of that? Well, it was high, but what was the effect? Well, the short term was pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. It was nice sitting there hearing the kids play that we were joined by the Hunters. Made it a kind of a church-like event, so it was rock on good. Every bit of it, wonderful. We already talked about the short-term effects. What about the long-term effects? Well, I'm talking about the Big Mac, and to be honest, that's all. All right, that's the end of that feeling of happiness. It's gone, forgotten, now a little bit guilty. But what about those kids? Well, again, that's a different story. What we found in the kids is that we had a one-of-a-kind experience. There's not going to be a winter band concert ever again when my kids are this age and the kids that who were there with their parents were that age. So that was a one-time experience, and it was designed to not only provide the happiness that is sometimes fleeting, but it provided joy. Joy may be easy to think of as the long-acting form of contentment. I think it's a little bit more deep-seated than just happiness. But about 7 years ago, this guy named Dan Gilbert came out. It seemed brilliant. And so what Dan Gilbert was a book about was the difference between happiness and something he called synthetic happiness. Man, it really caught on like wildfire. It was everywhere. He did a TED Talk. People were excited. How do you synthesize happiness? How do you do it? Well, Gilbert's contention was that happiness occurs when happy events happen. And so when you get a bonus or an unexpected hug or something like that, you're happy and that's wonderful. But there are different levels to it. The fact of the matter is that when we are happy, we're just as likely to have it morph into something else. But when we're joyful, like we were at that concert, it leads in a different direction. Happiness has the net sum effect of tending to make me want to go out and get more happy. Thing is, that's a dynamic that's known to the world around you. And they are making bank, keeping you happy. It's a never-ending cycle. In fact, the folks at Facebook probably figured a way to hack our dopamine reward system. People are using the knowledge of what you want to be happy to profit from you. joy they can't give you. And Dan Gilbert couldn't either, because it turned out that what his synthetic happiness was Christianity minus the Christ. His intent was, well, in every bad thing, the things that don't make you happy, there's going to be something you can isolate that's good. And you just need to stay with that. Well, there are some things good that happen in bad events. But folks, I've been doing this enough to tell you, there are just plain bad events. And if you go looking to find a silver lining, you're not, and you're going to go crazy when you can't. Friends, there are things that happen here, things that go bump in the night that simply don't get recovered from as easy as finding a little nugget of contentment in the mix. You see, Dan Gilbert's strategy failed because there was no eternality to it. There was no help either. You either converted this bad thing in your mind into a good thing, or, well, you're just out of luck. Thing is, Christianity comes in and says something remarkably different and remarkably better. Christianity is in no way, shape, or form detached from the reality of this world. It tells us that this world has some problems. There's some rough edges, some places to get jostled around. There's no denying that. The Bible doesn't tell you that this world is going to be perfect. The Bible tells you in this perfect world that a perfect God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, is going to be with you in it. It isn't the case that joy can be experienced only when the sun is shining. That's not the point of joy. That's happiness. Joy is that deep-seated awareness that when a day really stinks, when the loved one that you thought might continue has passed away, that's when the joy of Jesus Christ says, hey, wait a second. This deal, it isn't over. You may have failed, your loved one may have passed, but guess what? There's another day coming. And that day is the day you live for. That day is where your joy is. That day is where you're going to meet Jesus Christ. And in meeting Jesus Christ face to face, in the body, seeing Him, this world will make sense. We might not know who killed JFK. We might not find out who sent us and put us on an email list that we wish we weren't. But what we will know is that Jesus Christ is Lord and sovereign. Our hope was not in vain, and neither was our joy. Because where did the joy of those moments come? Well, the Big Mac, it fleeted, it went. All I can think about is maybe getting another Big Mac. The joy, though, the joy of seeing those kids, man, it makes me want to be a better parent. It makes me want to work harder. It makes me want to make sure that the kids out there that aren't getting music lessons because they might not have the funds, that they get them. Why? Because anything that gives me that much joy as watching my kids play, man, it ought to give somebody else that much too. And if I'm really Christian, if I'm really in it to win it, if I'm really following the joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm going to find a way. And it's not me that's going to find a way. It's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, the God that's with us, is the one that's reminding us that this deal isn't about happiness. $700 buys you a pretty nice flat screen these days. I'm sure it'll make you pretty happy for about half an hour until you realize there's nothing on television. Should have had something else. But joy. Joy is going all in. Joy is digging. Joy is coming home tired. Joy is doing one extra task before the night is through. Joy is saying Jesus loves you one extra time a day to some stranger. There is joy in this world. There's joy in this world because Jesus Christ has come and forgiven us of our sin. He's reminded us that this world doesn't defeat us, that in fact He's conquered it. And because we're His people, we can expect to taste that victory too. And we already do. We already feel that victory when we experience the joy that comes knowing that we're not perfect and don't have to be. There's your peace. You realize that God has given you a mission and a point and a purpose. There went idleness and boredom. You got something to do. And then when you realize that a new heaven and a new earth are coming, and in that place, these bumps and bruises and scrapes and the things that go bump in the night, well, they're not going to be there. And that's where we're going to go and be forever, simply because God chose us before the foundation of the earth to believe in Jesus Christ. There's your joy. There's the power that you can't ever have anyone take away from you. They may take away your money, they may take away your home, they may take away everything, but Jesus tells you they can even take away your life. They ain't going to touch your joy, because joy isn't what's out there. Joy isn't the new Xbox. Joy isn't the new car. Joy isn't a Big Mac. That's happiness. It's a different thing. Joy is found when we simply commune with God and realize He's had it all along and we got some work to do. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we seek out and then lift up to this great and awesome and wonderful God the feelings, the people and things in our lives that need an extra measure, an additional draft, if you will, of God's overwhelming grace and love. And so we reach up with words, but we believe the effect is spiritual. So join me in prayer. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as always, we thank you and rejoice in your greatness and in your glory, O Lord. Before light was light, you spoke and began this process of creation, which brought forward into our existence everything we'll ever know or experience. Father God, you are indeed awesome and mighty and powerful in ways that we can't even hope to imagine. And yet, Father God, we recognize that despite that immense power, that you're a deeply personal God. You are knowable and known to us, O Lord. We know you directly through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is your only begotten Son, the one that's come and lived and died and risen again for us and for our salvation. We celebrate and rejoice over the salvation he has enacted through his atoning death and resurrection. And so, Heavenly Father, so too do we thank you for the Holy Spirit, that God with us that travels alongside of us in such a way to provide us everything necessary for this life and in the life to come. And Heavenly Father, into this world we recognize that's broken by sin. We see so many examples of our shortcomings, O Lord. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would knit up this creation yet again, that wherever there was a bump or a bruise or a scrape, that you would provide your Holy Spirit's healing and restorative touch. That wherever there is the loss of faculty or sadness or sorrow, that your Spirit would blow, bringing with it the sunshine of spirit of a warm summer day. And Heavenly Father, we just lift up to you all the people in our congregation who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious, directing all names on the prayer list, praying for them. But today we pray especially for Nikki Kennedy, for Pauline Harper, for Mildred Alexander. We pray for the Parker family as they continue mourning Lori. We pray for Jack McClure. We pray for Corky McClure. We pray for Tom McClure. We pray for Jill Griffin and Dennis and Debbie Abernathy and all of the names on the prayer list. Heavenly Father, give each of these people and families exactly what they need, providing freely, O Lord, so that they may know your goodness. Allow us, if it be your will, to be the channels by which these blessings go out into the world, so that we might share with our brothers and sisters in Christ the very marrow of who we are, so that we might be bound up together in that eternal joy that begins here but carries on into eternity. Heavenly Father, we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God, in fact, loves a cheerful giver. We just give you great thanks for all the blessings that you've showered into our lives. Gracious God, we thank you for providing for us in this peaceful and sacred season as we prepare for your Son's birth. Heavenly Father, in this time and in this place, allow us to give generously to you so that His name, Jesus' name, might be known throughout the earth. and so that one day every knee might bow to him. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, thanking you for your blessings and asking you to sanctify this offering, using it to your glory and your good across the world that you created. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We celebrate today the joy that comes through Jesus Christ, which is a joy that can come and emerge at any time and any place. I'm seeing folks in the worst possible places, and they're bubbling up with joy, believe it or not. Not that they're happy, not that they're content about what's going on, but they are joyful. And they're joyful because they know. They know Jesus loves them, Jesus has forgiven them, and that one day that trumpet will sound and Jesus will come again. It all works out okay, and because of that, let's celebrate and rejoice. Paul even says it, rejoice in all things. I say again, rejoice. And now may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen. Hey, that's neat.
Hey,
FD, I've had better days.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired.
Well, maybe clear up.
I hope so.
Yeah. Cool.